भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
दिस इज फ्रॉम 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th chapter, text number 1. Krishna Marathi me tere Marathi me
vacha vachitpanashaya mano dadad braja pratah samutthaya vayasya vatsapan prabodayan chringaraveena charuna vinirgato vatsapura sarohari.
Shukadeva Goswami continued, O king, one day Krishna decided to take his breakfast as a picnic in the forest. Having risen early in the morning, he blew his bugle made of horn and woke all the cowherd boys and cows with its beautiful sound. Then Krishna and the boys, keeping the respective groups of cows before them, proceeded from Rajabhumi to the forest.
Tenaiva sakam prutukha sahasrashah स्निग्धाशुषिग्वेत्रविषाणवेणवाः स्वान् स्वान् सहस्रोपरिशङ्क्ययान्वितान् वत्सान् पुरस्कृत्य विनिर्ययुर्मुदा.
At that time, hundreds and thousands of covered boys came out of their respective homes in Brajabhumi and joined Krishna, keeping before them there are hundreds and thousands of groups of calves. The boys were very beautiful and they were equipped with lunch bags, bugles, flutes and sticks for controlling the calves.
Krishna vatsaira sankyatair yuti kritya swavatsakan charayantor balilabhir vijahus tatra tatrah.
Along with the covered boys and other own groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a great playful spirit.
फलप्रवालस्तवकर सुमनः पिच्छदातुभिः काचगुञ्जामणि स्वर्ण भूषिता अपि अभूषयन्.
Although all these boys were already decorated by their mothers with ornaments of kach, gunja, pearls and gold, when they went into the forest they further decorated themselves with fruits, green leaves, bunches of flowers, peacock feathers and soft minerals.
मुष्टन्तोन्योन्य शिक्यादि ज्ञाता नाराच्च चिक्षिपुः तत्रत्याश्च पुनर्दूरान् संतश्च पुनर्दधुः.
All the covered boys used to steal one another's lunch bags. When a boy came to understand that his bag has been taken away, other boys would throw it farther away, to a more distant place, and those standing there would throw it still farther. When the proprietor of the bag became disappointed, the other boys would laugh, the proprietor would cry, and then the bag would be returned. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. This kind of playing and stealing among boys still exists even in the material world, because this kind of sporting pleasure is present in the spiritual world, from which this idea of enjoyment emanates. Janmadhyasya yataha. This same enjoyment is displayed by Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world, but there the enjoyment is eternal, whereas here on the material platform it is temporary. There the enjoyment is Brahman, whereas here the enjoyment is Jada. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to train one how to transfer oneself from Jada to the Brahman. Because human life is meant for this purpose. Atato Brahma Jignasa. Krishna comes down to teach us how we can enjoy with him on the spiritual platform in the spiritual world. Not only does he come, but he personally displays his pastimes in Vrindavan and attracts people the spiritual enjoyment.
Yadi duram gata krishno vanasho bekshanayatam aham purvam aham purvam iti samprishyate mire.
Sometimes Krishna would go to a somewhat distant place to see the beauty of the forest, and all the other boys would run to accompany him, each one saying, I shall be the first to run and touch Krishna. I shall touch Krishna first. In this way, they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna. All the boys would be different engaged. Some boys blew their flutes and others blew bugles made of horn. Some imitated the buzzing of the bumblebees. Others imitated the voice of the cuckoo. Some boys imitated flying birds by running after the bird shadows on the ground. Some imitated the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swans. Some sat down with the ducks, sitting silently, and others imitated the dancing of the peacocks. Some boys attracted young monkeys in the trees. Some jumped into the trees, imitating the monkeys. Some made faces as the monkeys were accustomed to do. And others jumped from one branch to another. Some boys went to the waterfalls and crossed over the river and jumping with the frogs. And when they saw their own reflections in the water, they would laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. In this way, all the covered boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for jnanis, desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead for the devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who for ordinary persons is but another ordinary child. The covered boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, are able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can one explain that great fortune? Yogis may undergo severe austerities and penances for many births by practicing yama, niyama and pranayama, and none of which are easily performed. Yet, in due course of time, when these yogis attain the perfection of controlling the mind, they will still be unable to taste even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then can we describe about the great fortune of inhabitants of Rajabhumi, Vrindavan, with whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally lived and who saw the Lord face to face?
ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांधस्नानांजनशलाकय चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च
श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्विदांश्च नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकृपदुर्भ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। While describing the pastimes of Krishna from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada also cites the famous book called as Krishna Bhavanamritam, written by Vishnu Chakratripad, where the pastimes of Krishna explained are so nectarian that it can drown the devotees in remembrance of Krishna. Like this morning, we are reading Krishna entering into the forest with his cows and calves along with his covered boyfriends. It is explained that when the elderly covered women were decorating their sons, the gopas, before entering into the forest by decorating them with garments and ornaments and with tilaka on their forehead, so the boys would become very restless. And they would shout at their mothers, "Just see, mother, why are you delaying me so much? I am hearing the sound of Krishna along with the other boys coming. Everyone has arrived and Krishna is waiting for me. He's looking for me. Enough of all this dressing. Leave me alone. Now I want to run now." So they would be very restless. And the mothers would say, "Just see, all the boys have been bathed by their mothers, dressed in beautiful garments and golden ornaments and silver ornaments. And they have come so beautiful. And when you go like this without any decoration, everyone will laugh at you. And besides that, we are not hearing any sounds of the cows mooing, nor are we hearing any sound of the bugles played by Krishna or his friends. Why are you so much in a hurry? Just wait for a minute more. I am putting the last jewel on your body. Once the tilaka is put, now you are free. You can go." So in this way, the mothers would have to possibly hold their children. And of course, the mothers derive great satisfaction in dressing their children by fondling them out of great love. But even in that loving embrace and dressing, the covered boys considered that as a great entanglement and that which separates them from Krishna. So they rather wanted to run away and join Krishna along with other friends. It is also said how just before Krishna is getting ready to prepare to go, Krishna's servants like Raktaka, Chitrak, Patrak, all of them, they make all arrangements ready, preparations before going into the forest. Like they make the jug filled with rose-scented waters. They also arrange a crystal box filled with betel leaves to give Krishna later. And one of the servants arranges for nice garments and garlands and ornaments for Krishna to be used for decorating him in the forest. So they make all these arrangements. And Mother Yashoda calls one of the servants of Krishna and tells him, "Here are the very sweet laddus that I have made for Krishna. Please carry it very carefully." And the boy stores it in a wooden box above his head. And he covers it very carefully and ties it very nicely and carefully carries as if he is carrying a million hearts tied together very carefully, because he knows Krishna will remember and ask, what did Mother Yashoda send for me? So in this way, all the servants of Krishna, they all carry different items for the pleasure of Krishna. And then Mother Yashoda sees that Krishna is ready now, standing with the cows and calves. She starts feeling an intense separation, even before he leaves. So she starts telling, please do not leave us behind. We all will come with you. Don't ask us to go anywhere else. Because we all know that if you leave us and go to the forest, you yourself will be deeply pained by thinking of our separation from you. In fact, she was meaning, she said that if you go by leaving us to the forest, then we will all be crying in separation. And remembering that we are crying in separation from you, then you will cry, which is very painful for us to tolerate. So we don't want you to be subjected by that pain. So please take us with you, she said. And she said, just see how you are torturing us by going away for 9 hours a day, from morning to the evening, all day long, to such faraway place in the forest. And all of us have to remain alone at home. At this time, the news spread all over Braja that son of Nanda is ready to go into the forest now. And that was decoded by all the elderly gopis and the gopas as the sun is setting in the west. Why? You see, different people derive different meanings when they hear the same statement. For example, when we say the sun is setting, then the brahmanas would immediately think, now the sun is setting, which means the Sayam Sandhya has to be performed. That's what the brahmanas will think about in their minds. Or when you say the sun is setting, the cowherd boys would think, now it's time for us to return home. So different people would derive different meanings. In the same way, when they heard that the son of King Nanda is going into the forest, then they all felt, now our lives would be like a life, like a day without the sun. So they all were feeling like that. So Mother Yashoda was looking at Krishna, and she said, just see, where is your lotus feet, which is as tender as a soft lotus leaf or a lotus petal? And where are the thorns and pebbles and stones in the forest, which are so pricking to your feet? It's unimaginable for me to see you walking in such a forest. Just look at your own body, which is as tender as a puppet made up of butter sprinkled with some liquid musk. The body is so soft and tender. And when I see you walking in the forest, I can imagine how the scorching heat of the sunlight, which goes on increasing its heat, how can it be tolerated by you, Krishna? So why do you still want to go to forest? And if you really want to go, you take us with you. So this way, she was praying to him. And she also saw that all the other cowherd boys were making preparations, and there is also Subhadra, and Balram and Vrishabha. They are all elderly leaders of the team of the cowherd boys who enter into the forest. So she saw them, and she addressed them, and she called them, come here. Madhya Baladev, Balram. She said, Krishna is your heart, your life, and as much as your very soul. But hear my instructions very carefully. She told them, you know, although Krishna's body is so tender, yet he is very dashing. Although he is very intelligent, he doesn't have the intelligence to know his limits. That is his problem. Although Krishna is actually, she was telling the opposite qualities in Krishna. How Krishna looks like very powerful, but actually he is very delicate. You have to take care of him. You have to protect him when you are going to the forest. In fact, he does not care for anyone, including his mother, his father, and other elders like Rohini. No, he doesn't care for anyone. That is our problem. But I am very confident that you all can protect him when you are in the forest. So please take care of him. And that is your duty. I hope you will remember this instruction of mine always. And she said, as soon as you find any enemy of Kamsa, any demon or any asura coming in the forest, you don't even worry about the cows, because they don't come to attack the cows. They come to attack only Krishna. So you don't even worry about the cows. You along with Krishna should come running back. And you have to come and take our shelter. So you will be able to offer protection. Always keep it in mind. Never forget this. And then she saw there were younger covered boys who were actually friends of Krishna. So she called all of them. Like for example, there is Sudama. She called, "Oh Sudama, oh Ujjwala." In this way she called many of them. And called all of them and said, "Why are you people playing so roughly with Krishna? Are there no other games you can play?" Because she heard them singing in the morning that today we will go to the Govardhan Hill, and in the slopes of the Govardhan Hill we will have a game of fighting with Krishna for fun. So she heard that. And when Krishna would return in the evening, sometimes there would be the nail marks of the friends of Krishna on his body. So she asked them, "You don't have any ordinary games to play other than these rough games which you play every day with Krishna?" So she was scolding them and told them, "Be careful while playing. Don't play any rough games." And then she also saw Krishna's servants, Raktak, Chitrak, Patrak, all of them were carrying things. She told them, "You may be carrying all these wonderful things, but let me tell you Krishna's true nature. Remember this." She said, although this Krishna and Balaram, they both sometimes play for a long time and become very hungry, they forget their food completely because of mad attraction for playing the games. And when they become very thirsty, although they may want to drink water, their throats are running dry because of enjoying the games, they will completely forget drinking water. So you all have to remember to serve Krishna the right thing at the right time. Please do not forget. In this way she was reminding the servants of Krishna in this way. And then she turned to Nanda Maharaj and told him, "Just see what a great plight. While my dear son is entering into the forest with cows and calves, walking over the pebbles and thorns and stones, I am remaining with you in this great mahal, which is made up of gold stones, gold bricks, very happily, and doing my so-called household activities. What a great curse." And then she looked at all the other covered women, elderly gopis, and told them, "Just see, while the mothers remain at home very jolly, performing the household activities very comfortably, Krishna and other covered boys, they go into the forest and suffer all the difficulties in the forest. And we are celebrated by all the world as great mothers. What kind of mothers are we?" Just see, she was telling them. So hearing all these things, when Madhumangal was hearing, he came forward to give explanation. He said, "Mother Yashoda, you are thinking that we are all suffering in the forest, but let us tell you, your town has no charm. The real fun is in the forest only. When we enter into the forest, we have bananas, we have banana trees, we have pomegranate trees, we have mango trees, and we have orange trees. So all these trees are offering us fruits. Even without our asking, they are dropping these fruits. So we feel very jolly, we feel very happy occurring all these fruits. And while all the cows are grazing in the pastures, we have great fun playing together. And we have Krishna with us. And what more do we want? All day we are playing games. And there is nothing to worry in the forest. The bumblebees are singing. And with the tune of the singing of the bumblebees, we are playing games in the forest. In fact, your city has no attraction here. And you are all suffering and we are enjoying. And we all have our lunch packets exchanging with each other." And Krishna spoke for his part. He turned to Mother Yashoda and said, "My dear mother, I can understand that your heart is greatly pained to see me entering into the forest. But let me tell you the real truth. In the forest, it is not at all hard, because the thick, bushy forest of Vrindavan has so many trees in the banks of Yamuna, and we all are always playing under the shades of those trees. So we don't feel any scorching heat of the sunlight at all. And besides that, the forest of the Vrindavan is decorated with beautiful roads, which are cleaned by the chamari deers. The chamari deers with their tails, they clean up all these roads. And the musk deers, they put their fragrant musk scents in the road. So while I am tending the cows in the forest, everywhere I only smell the fragrance all over the forest. In the same way, the honey laden trees, they always they sprinkle their honey, they drip the honey all over the route. So in this way, the whole road is rendered very beautiful for us to enter the forest of Vrindavan. And there is nothing to fear or nothing to worry. And when I go with all the covered boys, all my friends, they are always surrounding me, and I am under their protection, and that is the protection of Baladev and other elders. And tending the cows also is not very difficult for me. It's very easy. Why? You have given me this Murali flute. When I play this Murali, then all the cows, wherever they go, to whatever distance they may go to graze the grass, they all come back immediately. So in this way, my life in the forest is very enjoyable, and there is nothing to lament, there is nothing to worry. You can peacefully do your household duties, and I will soon go to the forest and return back. In the meantime, although the cows had not even budged one inch also, they were all by the hindsight looking back, when is Krishna going to leave? Because their hearts were very hungry for eating grass, their stomach was very hungry. Because they hadn't eaten in the morning, and they were like ready to poise to run into the forest and eat the green grass of the forest. But without Krishna accompanying them, they would not go into the forest. But they were all with their hindsight looking back, that Krishna and covered boys are talking to their mothers. And after some time, seeing that the mother Yashoda's attachment for Krishna is so intense that it seems she is not going to leave him. And our hunger also is not going to be appeased. Thinking like that, all the cows started mooing loudly. And as Krishna heard their mooing sound, then he told Mother Yashoda, this is a signal now, and that the cows want to go to the forest. Please kindly give me permission. Saying like this, Krishna started walking in the forest with his lotus footprints, pressing the ground, making all those divine markings. He enters into the forest of Vrindavan. And as Krishna and the covered boys and the cows and calves, they all walk into the forest, all the elderly gopis and the gopas, they are all watching without winking their eyes, taking a long breath. And it is said, till this wonderful sight disappeared from their eyesight, till Krishna went to the horizon, all of them are watching very intently. So the eyes were following Krishna. Why? The eyes of these elderly gopis and gopas thought that there is nothing worth seeing than this beautiful sight of Krishna entering into the forest of Vrindavan. And after Krishna went away, then they all, it is said, they all entered into their homes, exactly like the liberated souls who perform their duties of their body just as an external custom, while their hearts are absorbed in the Lord's remembrance. The gopis were exactly like that. Their hearts were completely tied in remembrance of Krishna, but they were just doing their household duties just for the sake of external custom, it is said. So in the evening hours, when sun was about to set, immediately all the elderly covered men and women, they all become anxious to see Krishna returning back. So Nanda Baba, Nanda Maharaj, Prabhupada writes this in Nectar of Devotion. Nanda Maharaj climbs up to the top roof of the house, where there is a, I think they call it as a Chandra Kamshi or something. They call it, they have a on the roof of the house, they have got this kind of pandal kind of thing, where one climbs up on the top of the roof and they can see practically the whole of Vrindavan from there. So Nanda Maharaj is seeing, where is Krishna and the cows and calves, where are they? So he takes a look all around and at last he sees them returning back. And Mother Yashoda is also standing by his side and they both are watching. And then Nanda Baba is showing, just see, our beautiful son Krishna is returning back, cows and calves. So even before Nanda Maharaj goes to the rooftop, Yashoda Mahi is looking towards the road of Mathura, without winking her eyes, with a deep breath, hoping and praying that, when will that sight of Krishna come in front of my eyes? She is waiting like that. So in this way, the beautiful pastime of Krishna entering the forest of Vrindavan with his covered by friends and cows and calves is explained by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Here also in these verses in Bhagavatam we are reading the same. So these verses are very greatly elaborated by the acharyas, who in their trance, in their meditation, can understand even the mood of Krishna and the mood of the devotees. Just like it is said when Krishna was leaving all these covered women and men when he was going to the forest. So when Krishna thought about them, remembered about them after going some distance, he thought in his mind, oh, how much they love me, how much they are attached to me, how much they must be feeling separation from me. Then Krishna thought that let me carry their minds with me also, so that they will never feel pained. So in this way Krishna carried their minds. In this way, the acharyas give explanation about the mood of Krishna as well as the mood of the devotees. So these pastimes are very vividly described by Shukadeva Goswami in this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like the pinnacle of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Supreme Lord is not a very easy subject to understand for the common man, especially the aspect of Krishna that is being discussed in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna has many aspects, many multifarious aspects, of which certain aspects we can easily see even in the material world. For example, Krishna is very creative and intelligent. At the same time, Krishna is also a sweet Lord endowed with great emotions for all the living beings. As he himself says, Pitahamasya Jagato Mata Dhata Pitamaha. He says, I am the Pitamaha. I am the Pita and I am Pitamaha also. I am the father and I am the grandfather also. I am the father of all fathers, he says. I am the seed-giving father. So you can see, when we look at the creation, it is so complex with its intricacies and subtleties of all the creations. Once Devamrita was telling us about this tree, you just take a Galmohar tree, or like we have a tree behind the temple. You see this tree, how huge it is, with a big stem, with the branches, and with the leaves and twigs and flowers and fruits. Just if you take one object like that, how complex it is, how intricately it is designed and delicately designed and created. So Krishna is very creative and intelligent and very, and everything he does is very well planned in his creation. At the same time, the Lord is also endowed with emotions for the living beings who are like his children. Like the Lord supplies the rains, the Lord supplies the air, the Lord supplies the food in the form of grains and fruits and everything. So we can understand these things are so absolutely necessary for our sustenance. At the same time, we cannot create even one of them. None of which can be created by us. They are all given only by God. Even for an atheist, even for one who doesn't believe in him, even for him the Lord is supplying. So this goes to show his emotions. But in a spiritual platform, the Lord has something else reserved for his devotees, much more than what we get to observe in this material world. Material world, we just get a hint of Krishna's energies. As he says, Ekamshena Stitho Jagat. Leka Amshena. Leka Amshena means a small fraction of my energy. I pervade the whole creation. In fact, Arjuna asked this question to Krishna. Katam vidyamaham sanke tvam sada parichintayan keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintyo si bhagavanmaya. My dear Krishna, how can all the living beings of this world can remember you at every moment, at every time? How can they remember you? And Krishna gives many ways by which we can remember Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Very simple way. Like I can be remembered by seeing the light of the sun, or light of the moon, by the taste of the water, by the intelligence of the intelligent, by the strength of the strong. All these different things Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, which are all display of Krishna's energy. A minute display of Krishna's energy. This is not actually seeing Krishna. It is a very indirect way of seeing Krishna, by seeing his energies. It's like saying, like you go to a very, very wealthy man's house. Sometimes you go for cultivating a big man, a rich man. You know, you go for meeting him. Sometimes as soon as you go, you open the gate and you go inside, you find a huge garden. And then you find like a big palace building. Then you go there and you find a shoe rack. Very, very costly shoes are there. And you find there are 20 Rolls Royce standing there outside. So you imagine, wow, a rich man. If he has 20 Rolls Royce here, how much money he must be having, he must be calculating. He has such a bungalow. And then you enter inside, you find everything is made up of marble. The entrance is made up, even the veranda is made up of marble stones. You find like that. Everything is lavishly spent. You find the huge table and everything, golden pen, and golden water taps, everything you find. So, sometimes by seeing these opulences of a rich man, one may understand he must be a very wealthy man, very opulent man. But this is not his only greatness. This is insignificant for him. This is just one house in which he is displaying his prowess. In the same manner, Krishna also displays his material energy, seeing which many people are amazed. They are awed by the greatness of the creation. Like the Mount Sumeru. Krishna says, Achalam, amongst Achalam and the Mount Sumeru. There are many great things. See the Grand Canyon. How great it is. Sometimes the train is going in Lonavala. You find the deep valley. You find. So it is breathtaking. So in this way, there are so many things to be seen and amazed in the creation for the living entities who are separated from Krishna, even for them. But for those who are seeing Krishna face to face, Krishna has many, many more things to offer. And in that Krishna has his greatness and Krishna has his sweetness, both. The greatness of Krishna is glorified by Kunti Maharani in the Srimad Bhagavatam prayers. Very wonderful prayers. It is called as reverential admiration that she has for Krishna. Reverential admiration is, she is awed by Krishna's greatness. Although, my dear Krishna, you are in the heart of every living being, you are also without us, Virata Purusha, still no one can see you. That's your greatness. Because you are like a dancing actor. No one can understand who you are. So in this way, Kunti Maharani offers several prayers, talking about the miraculous nature of Krishna's existence as well as his appearance and disappearance. Like, you know, she is, you know, predicting many reasons why Krishna appears in this world. Maybe you are appearing because you wanted to glorify Yadu. Maybe you are appearing because Vasudeva and Devaki prayed to you. Maybe you are appearing in this world to please your devotees. Maybe you are appearing in this world to subdue the demons and protect the devotees. Maybe you are appearing, Krishna, to, you know, establish Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, all the Navavidha Bhakti. You are appearing because of that. And she is going on predicting many, many reasons. Maybe you are appearing because Brahma prayed to you to come to this world and reduce the burden of the earth. In this way, she is predicting many things. Why you are appearing in this earth? So, she is admiring Krishna's appearance. And she is also saying, Krishna's activities are very bewildering. Like how he is crying when Mother Yashoda is taking a whipping stick in her hands. So we will find Kunti Maharani stunned by Krishna's activities. She says, it's vidambanam, it's bewildering to me. And that Prabhupada says, yes, Even very great devotees or demigods get bewildered by seeing Krishna's human-like activities. Because they look very ordinary like human beings, but yet the person who is acting is God himself. You see, when God performs an activity, it becomes very special. Imagine if President of India comes to open the new temple and he cuts the ribbon. It is very special. When I or you cut a ribbon, there is nothing special. Or if you go to a shop, there is a dukandar who is cutting ribbon every day and giving people. There is nothing special. But when the president or prime minister comes to cut the ribbon, that is very special. In the same manner, when Krishna is performing the activities like stealing butter, we may also steal butter, or we may steal Mahaprasad. But when Krishna is stealing butter, that is very special. Because God himself is performing that activity. So, Kunti Maharani is having a reverential admiration for Krishna. And even the great yogis, they meditate on Krishna's Virat Purusha form, seeing his greatness. Krishna's greatness. They see the mountains as bones of Krishna, ocean as navel, the rivers as veins in his body, the grass as hairs on his body, the sun and moon as the eyes of God. They see the greatness of God. So, there is a very vivid description given in scriptures about the Virat Purusha. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's Vishwarupa Darshan is very vividly described. Krishna sometimes opens his mouth and shows Mother Yashoda the entire universe in his mouth. These are all greatness of Krishna. Krishna becomes Vamana Dev and becomes Trivikrama, conquering all the three worlds. So these are all greatness of Krishna, magnificence of Krishna, might of Krishna, which we get to read, which great devotees appreciate. Undoubtedly, their hearts are churned by seeing the greatness of Krishna. They admire and they surrender to Krishna completely, seeing his greatness. But this greatness is not the greatest thing in Krishna, because greater than his greatness is Krishna's sweet nature of love. See, Krishna has love, Krishna has laws. But in the spiritual world, love predominates his laws. And in the material world, the laws predominate love. You can see the difference. In the material world, because it's a jail, the government of any country, it certainly loves its citizens. But imagine a king of a country, he has laid forth laws also, isn't it, for the people in general. But in the jail, the laws are enforced more vigorously than the laws for the citizens. But the king, for his own sons, he would be very, very loving. Love is the most predominant factor with one's own children. In the same way, the sweetness of Krishna surpasses his greatness also. And that sweetness is greatly appreciated by Mother Yashoda, Nanda, and his covered friends and covered girls. They are the ones who are recipients of such kind of sweetness and love of Krishna. That is why Prabhupada makes a comparison of Yashoda and Kunti and says that the fortune of Yashoda is greater than that of Kunti also. Because Kunti has a reverential admiration, but Yashoda is so much absorbed in the sweetness of Krishna that she can even take a stick and threaten Krishna to beat him out of love. Or Yashoda can feel such motherly love with Krishna that she can just treat him as a child and not as God. When Krishna appears in the jail where Vasudeva and Devaki are present, immediately they both offer namaskar to him, dandavat pranam to him, which goes to show that they were also absorbed in reverential admiration. So that also is a sign of greatness. They were also seeing greatness of God. Whereas Yashoda Mai does not see any greatness. She is only attracted by the sweetness of Krishna. And the description I was speaking in the beginning, this goes to show the feelings of separation Mother Yashoda feels when Krishna goes to forest. And her speech with the covered boys, with the equals of Krishna, with the servants of Krishna, with the leading gopas, the seniors of Krishna, and with covered women and men and all these things, this is a kind of alapana, this is a kind of vilap. Vilap we call it. Vilap means separation, which is speaking, which is a transcendental gossip. There is a jalpa, upajalpa, prajalpa. These are explained in the Krishna book. You will see in the material world also, many mothers and fathers, they do a lot of prajalpa about their children. Isn't it? The son has gone for studies, the son has gone abroad for doing some job, or son has got a promotion in the job, isn't it? People talk about their sons. So this is a perverted reflection of Yashoda talking about her son, Krishna in the spiritual world, like this. So well, everyone has to talk, but if one talks about this kind of transcendental talk of Yashoda, Nanda and the covered boys, then one can completely absorb one's mind, and it is very mind elevating. It plunges one in remembrance of Krishna by bringing the beautiful scene of Krishna and going into the forest for tending the cows. So in this way we find the love of Mother Yashoda for Krishna and love of Krishna for Mother Yashoda. This kind of sweetness of love between the Lord and the devotee is actually the ultimate subject matter of the spiritual world. So the sweetness surpasses the greatness of Krishna. So we are celebrating this Janmashtami today, tomorrow and day after. So Prabhupada said he gave this Krishna book as a solace to the devotees. So devotees who are always longing to meet Krishna, Prabhupada said by reading and reciting Krishna book, Prabhupada said you can feel the presence of Krishna very much. Prabhupada also says in another place that if one hears the message of Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna is speaking, Prabhupada says that it is as good as being present in front of Krishna and hearing Bhagavad Gita directly from him. There is no difference, because the sound vibration emanating from Krishna's lips, whether Arjuna heard it or we are hearing it, it's the same. There is no difference. It's as good as being present. Even Arjuna, you will find in Bhagavatam, there is a verse which says, later when Arjuna was afflicted by sorrow, at that time he remembers the instructions given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita before. So that time Krishna is not giving him upadesh, but Arjuna is remembering the old instruction. So we are in the same situation now. Whatever was spoken by Krishna, we can remember Krishna upadesh and Krishna katha. So these are ideal subject matters for one to absorb one's consciousness. So recently when Gudakesh Prabhu came here, I was talking with him in the room. So he was telling that not only a devotee should very faithfully perform all the devotional activities in a dedicated way, by rising early in the morning, by chanting and dancing in the Mangalarti, and doing all devotional activities. He said, yes, this is very important. But along with that, one should also learn more and more about Krishna by steadily reading the scriptures. And the more a devotee gathers knowledge about Krishna, certainly this knowledge is not like the knowledge of a jnani who accumulates knowledge simply for speculation. The jnani accumulating knowledge is compared to the donkey carrying the load of baggage on his back. Whereas when a bhakta is assimilating knowledge about Krishna more, that even awakens his love for Krishna even more by hearing about the details of how Krishna and the Krishna and the covered boys, Krishna and the gopis, Krishna and Nanda Baba and Yashoda, and the relationship between them, by studying about it and learning about it, it increases and enhances and fine tunes one's love for Krishna more and more. So we need the knowledge and we need the practical devotion service. We need both. When both of them go hand in hand, then one's love for Krishna will be awakened very soon. So Srila Prabhupada has mercifully given guidelines. I took this from this Krishna Bhavanamritam by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, because Prabhupada quotes it in his purport. The devotees should read this Krishna Bhavanamritam by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says anyone who reads that book will be absorbed in remembrance of Krishna. Prabhupada writes that. In fact, Prabhupada got this name of our movement, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, from that book only, Krishna Bhavanamritam. So it is not Prabhupada did not concoct any new name on his own. He took the name given by the Acharya Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Antarashtra Krishna Bhavanamrit Sangha ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki, Krishna Bhagavan ki, कृष्ण जन्माष्टमी महामहोत्सव की। थैंक यू वेरी मच।